Shalom to all. Today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Mem Daled. We are starting Mem Gimel Beis on the bottom at the beginning of the Mishnah. And today's daf is sponsored by Lilu Nishmas Marsh Merim Sar Bas Yaakov Moshe Her Nishama Should I Have an Aliyah. Now, we mentioned this previously, but here we actually have the source of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi says Shechik Zarah L'Ruach. When a person finds an idol and he's not allowed to use it, what does he do? He grinds it up and he could just throw it to the winds. The smashed, pulverized, ground up, crushed up idol just flies all over the place, and that's perfectly fine. Oy Matal Yam, or he could throw it into the sea, and that's also a good way of getting rid of it. Now Amrloy Chum said to him, Afunasa Zevel. If he grinds it and throws it to the wind, it's going to end up becoming fertilizer, and that might benefit a yid's field. And I know that's also Shemar, because the pasuk says lo yidbak b'alchamum min acherem, the nothing from the cherem, that which is banned, which is referring to avodah zarah, is allowed to stick to you, meaning you're not allowed to benefit from it, and therefore grinding it up and throwing it to the wind is not a valid option. As now we get into a long discussion about this, the Gemara tells us Tanya have a brayso. Amalei Rabbi Yosi said to them, v'alik farnemar, we already have a pasuk that says Moshe Rabbeinu was reminding the yidden what he did about the egel hazav, and he told him, eschem and your sin mem dan alaf on top asher asisam asa egel, that you did the egel lakachti, I took it v'esav v'esav v'esav, I burned it in fire. And here's the key in Rabbi Yosi, v'ekos osay tochen heidav asher dak la'afar, and I ground it very well until it was fine like dust. Vashal safar, and I threw this afar el nachal yar minar, into the nachal that went down from the mountain. And so here we see the Moshe crushed up the egel hazav and he threw it to the wind. Clearly that's a permitted way to get rid of our zara. So amrulai, that's proper gear. So they told him misham rise at a raya. Harayu oimer. Another pasuk says vayizer al pnei amayim. The Moshe took this ground up egel hazav and put it into water. Vayashkas bnei Israel, and he had the yidden drink from that water. And lo nischam el bad kanek saita. The only reason why I did this was to check them like a saita. We know the saita is a woman who's suspected of doing something inappropriate with a different man, and as part of a whole process, she's brought to the base of Mikdash and she has to drink a certain water, which is called mei saita, and that's going to check whether or not she actually did the avera. And if she did, she dies a terrible, gruesome death. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was intending to do. He grounded the egel hazav not to scatter it to the wind, but to put it into water, which he did, and they drank it and would check to see if they served it. So there's no raya from here. So Amar Rabbi Yosi continued telling them, but like for Nemar, we have another pasuk that says as follows, and it's important to note that in this pasuk we're going to have a number of different girsa changes. So pay attention. What does it say? V'gam macha im asa amelech hisir mikvira. Also macha, the mother of asa amelech, was referring to King Asa, who was bringing the yidden back to tshuva. And macha wasn't actually his mother; it was his grandmother. He removed her from her position of greatness, meaning he removed her from being queen. And what was the problem? Asher asa la shera mifletzes. She made a mifletzes for an ashera, which means she had some sort of avodah zarah. V'gaimer. What do you do with this avodah zarah? V'yadek. He ground it up. V'yisar b'nachal kidroin, and he burned it in nachal kidroin. And so we see that he took this idol, crushed it up, and threw it to nachal kidroin. And obviously, we're not afraid of fertilizing the ground at all. That's a raya for me, says Rabbi Yosi. However, Amrulai, again, that's proper gear. So the Chum told him, Yisham raya, that's a raya from there. Nachal Kidroin, Ein Megal Tzmachim. Nachal Kidroin can't grow anything, fertile, and it's not able to grow anything. So over there specifically, there's no problem to scatter this crushed up of Zara, but in other places, it would be an issue. Asking more of Valai, Nachal Kidroin can't grow anything. Vatanya, really, gear says Vatanan. We have Mishle that says, both of these mix in the Amma, this referring to different bloods from the base of Mikdash, and they mix together in this little canal that goes from the base of Mikdash and flows out. All this blood goes out to Nachal Kidron and it's sold to the gardeners as fertilizer. If they don't pay the base of Mikdash for it, they're even for using it. So we clearly see that there are gardeners and people working the land in Nachal Kidron. How could you say it doesn't grow anything? The Gemara answer is no. There are different places of Nachal Kidron. There's an area that does grow. There's an area that doesn't grow anything, and that's where the Melech Asa scattered this crushed up idol of Macha. Now before we continue, we just ask, my miflatzta, what's this lashon of her miflatzes, which is a description of this idol of Macha? So Amar Rav Yehuda, he answers, the hava mafli leitzanusa. It was extreme in its leitzanus. That's what the word miflatzes means. It's a combination of mafli leitzanusa, an extreme miflatzes, which is like an extreme mockery. And what's it referring to? Ketoni Rav Yosef, just like Rav Yosef taught, kimin zachros astala, she made a zachros, which is like a male member on this idol of hers, v'hasen of elos lebechol yoyim, and she had relations with it every single day. Now we go back to the brayso. Amar Lahan Rav Yosi, Rav Yosi told Chachamim, trying to bring another raya for himself. Remember, we have another pasuk that says, he ground up the copper snake that Moshe Rabbeinu made. We know that in Midbar, the Yidden were attacked by snakes, so Moshe Rabbeinu made a copper snake, put it on a pole, and everyone looked up to the snake. As the Gemara explains, the snake didn't heal them. It was them looking up to Shemayim, realizing that they have to subjugate themselves to Hashem. That's what healed them. However, this snake stayed with the Yidden all throughout the generations until they ended up serving it as a avodah zarah. So King Chizkiah said, this is too much, and he ground it up, and crushed it up, and threw it to the wind. Clearly, we see that's a great way of getting rid of avodah zarah. So Amrulai, the Chum told him, Yisham Raya, that's a proof from there. Harayu Oimer, the pasuk says regarding this nechash and chayshes, v'emashal Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, asay lecha saraf, make for yourself a saraf, the serpent, the snake. And what do we learn from here? Lecha, mishalcha. When Hashem told Moshe, make it for yourself, that means use your own money. And v'ein adam oisur davar she'ein shalai. A person can't ask for something that's not his. If I have something and you take it in service of avodah zarah, that doesn't aser it. It's mine. You can't make my thing of avodah zarah. It's the same thing. This snake belonged to Moshe Rabbeinu. So other people serving as avodah zarah doesn't actually make it into avodah zarah, and therefore therefore he didn't even have to crush it up in the first place because it's not even avodah zarah. And that's what the Gemara says. V'hasam din hu dekatusei loy havatzarech. He didn't really have to crush it in the first place. Elakim dechaz dekato Yisrael basrei. Is that since he saw that everyone was going after it, they were making a mistake treating it as avodah zarah, and that obviously leads to other avodah zarahs. Amar v'kitzai, he stood up and crushed it up to let everyone know that he protests what they're doing. But again, it wasn't a real avodah zarah being crushed up, so Rabbi Yitzchak has no raya from there. The Brisa continues. Amar Henry Rabbi Yitzchak told them. V'alik farnemar. We have a different pasuk that says. But yasu shomas atzabehem, and they left their idols there. V'yisaim David v'anoshav, and David and his men were v'yisaim. This refers to when David won in battle against the Plishtim. They ran away and left their idols there. So what did David and his men do with these idols? V'yisaim. And according to Rabbi Yitzchak, that means that he crushed it up and scattered it to the wind. Now we just have to explain. Umay mashma dahai v'yisaim David lishna dezaruyehu. What's the inference that this word v'yisaim David means that he scattered it to the wind? And the answer is Targum of Yosef. As a Rav Yosef is Matargim, the pasuk says Tizraim v'ruach tisaim, that you're going to do this, and a wind is going to be tisaim. And Matargiminon, we translate it as Tizrinon v'ruach tatalinon, that you're going to scatter them, and a wind is going to carry them off. And so we see lashon of ayisaim means to throw to the wind and to have it scatter it. However, Amalei l'cham tol Rav Yosef misham raya from the Zariah harayu aimer. The pasuk also says v'yisarfu ba'esh, and they were burned in fire. So even though the first pasuk that we quoted, which was from Shmuel, says the word v'yisaim, this pasuk we're quoting from Devar Yamim, which is talking about the same story, says that David burned them, so there's no question. And for the clarification, it would like say vayisrafim vayisaim, since we don't have one pasuk that tells us that he burned them and scattered them, we learn from here that vayisaim means he actually carried them away. Burning is one thing, and vayisaim means he carried them away. He lifted them up and carried them, and he didn't crush them up and scatter them like Rabbi Yossi says. Ask the Gemara, Mekom Malkam Kosher Kriya Dadi. If that's so, then we have a problem. Steer one pasuk on another. One pasuk tells us that he carried them away. Another pasuk tells us that he burned them. So what did David HaMelech do with these idols? Did he take them or did he burn them? And the answer is Rav Huna, like Rav Huna says, Rav Huna Rami, Rav Huna asks the Steer Psukim. If one pasuk says Vayyarm David, David said, meaning David instructed his men, Vayisarfu Ba'esh, and they burned them in fire. Uksiv, and the other pasuk says Vayisaim, which we're understanding to mean that he carried them away. How do we understand the Steer? Like Kasha, no problem. Kan Kaidim Shabbat Itai Giti, Kan Lach Shabbat Itai Giti. One is before Itai came, one is after Itai came. Itai was actually a non-Jew. He originally was with the Plishtim, and then after they were defeated, he ended up turning and came to the Yidden side. And as we know, a non-Jew is able to move Vatol and Avodah Zarah, and therefore, before Itai came, David burnt all these Avodah Zarahs because there was nothing to do with them. But after he came and he was mevatel them, so Vayisaim, David and his men carried them away because they were allowed to keep them due to the fact that they're not Asr anymore. And we continue talking about this Itai Agiti being mevatel Avodah Zarah. The Chesiv, the Pasuk says, Vayikechaz Ataras Malkom Me'al Roishoi U'mishkol Kikar Zov, and David took the crown of their king from his head, and its weight was a whole kikar of gold. Now, even though the Pasuk is read, as we just did, Malkom, that he took the crown of their king. Another way to understand is Milkaim, which is the name of their idol. So we see that David took a crown from their idol, and it was a whole kikar zav, which is an incredible amount of gold. And the question is, Mishari, was David allowed to take that crown and wear it? Yisrael no nenu, it's asar ba'no, because from an idol. And Rav Nachman answers, Itai giti bo bitla, Itai the giti came and he was mevatel it. So we see how helpful this Itai fellow was. Now we continue talking about this. It says, Mishkal kikar zav, it weighed a kikar of gold. And the question is, Hechimati manachla, how was David able to put on his head? A whole kikar of gold is more than 60 pounds. Imagine putting a crown of 60 pounds of gold on your head. Your head will be a pancake. How does that work? So Rav Yehuda Ravi explains, Ru'il anuach al Rosh David, it just means it was fit to put on David's head because he was the king and it was a very chash of a crown, so really it was fitting to put on his head, but obviously he didn't because it was way too heavy. Now Rabbi Yisrael Chanin Omar, he explains that Evan Shoy Eves Hoysaba, there was some sort of magnet in it, that was Darla, which picked up the crown, so all that weight wasn't resting on David's head. Somehow it was elevated a little bit above his head, so he did put it on, but it wasn't resting all on his head because of this magnet contraption. Where Rabbi Lazar Omar, he says, Evan Yakara Hoysaba, there was a very precious stone on this crown, Sheshava Kikar Zav, it was worth a kikar of gold, but not that the crown itself weighed a kikar of gold, because again, as we said, that'd be way too heavy to put on your head. Now we continue talking about this crown. We have a pasuk in Tehillim that says, "Zois ha'soli ki pikudecha natzarti." This I had because I guarded your pikudim, your instructions, meaning I kept the Torah. Now, my ka'amar, what's David HaMelech saying in this pasuk in Tehillim? And the answer is, "Hachikamar." This is what he's saying: "Beschar shepikudecha natzarti, zois ha'soli le'edos." This chayr, the reward that I got for guarding your Torah and for keeping it, is that I had this as a edos, as a testimony, meaning I got this crown and my edusa. What exactly is the edos of this crown? So Rabbi Shubin Levi tells us, "Shahayim menichem kaim tefillin." David HaMelech put the crown where his tefillin went on his head, and it fit him. And so that's what David is saying. They got a wonderful, perfectly fitting crown because I kept the Torah properly. Ask the Gemara, Vabaya Nuchai Tefillin. How was David able to wear this crown? He was supposed to be wearing tefillin. If the crown went where the tefillin went, so where did his tefillin go? So Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak answers, Makam Yesh Brash Royal Niach Bash Day Tefillin. There's enough space on the head to put two pairs of tefillin. And sometimes you might actually see someone in Shul who's wearing two pairs of tefillin on their head. So therefore, there's enough place for the crown and tefillin. We have another pasuk that tells us, Vaitsuyas Ben Amalek, and they took out the son of the king, the prince, Vayitnu Olivas Hanazer Vaso Eidos, and they put on him the crown and the Eidos. Now, what's this referring to? So, Nazer Zuklila, Nazer is referring to the crown, and Eidos, what does that mean? Eidos, Rabbi Yehuda Ravi tells us, Eidos Hu Beis David, it doesn't mean that they put an Eidos on his head, it means that this is an Eidos, a testimony for the house of David HaMelech, Shekol Roy L'Malchus, Hoylamtoi, that anyone who's fit for the kingship, this crown is going to fit him perfectly. V'chol She'en Roy L'Malchus, Ein Hoylamtoi, anyone who's not fit for the kingship, they're not supposed to be the king, the crown is not going to fit them. We continue talking about this. Apostle says, V'Adoni Menchagis, Misnasi Lemar, Ani Emlech, Adoni Menchagis, he elevated himself, saying, I'm going to be the king. This is at the end of David HaMelech's life. Adoniah, one of his sons from his wife Chagis, tried to take over the kingdom, even though it was supposed to go to Shlomo HaMelech. He tried to take over. And our Rav Yehuda Ravi says, how do we understand this pasuk? Shemasnasei lahomoi v'loy hoylamtoi. He tried to put the crown on his head. It just didn't fit him. As we just said, the crown only fits those who are supposed to be the king. Now we continue talking about this Adoniah. It says in the pasuk, Vayasloi rechav prashim. He made for himself chariots and horsemen, v'chamishim ish ratzim lefanov, and 50 men running in front of him. Now the question is, Meir Busai, what's so special about this? He had 50 people running in front of him. Great, I'll pay 50 random people to go run in front of me. What's so special about that? It must be there was something unique that Adonia had these 50 runners. And the answer is, Tanu Yev Abraisa, Kul and Atule Tchol, all of them had their spleens missing. A spleen makes a person heavy and sluggish, and so they had their spleens removed somehow. This caused them to run very fast. And also, V'chakuk Kapas Raglaim Hayu, literally this means that their Kapas Raglaim, their soles, were carved out, and that enables them to run barefoot on thorns and stones and different things like that. And so these runners actually were very special. It's not just 50 random people, it's 50 very chashish special runners who don't have spleens or feeling on the bottom of their feet. And on to Mem Dalam Beis on top with another Mishnah, continue to discuss Avodah Zarah. Tol Proklus Ben Plesifus is Rabbi Gamaliel Ba'akoi. Proklus Ben Plesifus, he was a Kaimer, he was a priest for Avodah Zarah. He has Rabbi Gamaliel in Akoi. Shahayu Rechaz Merchot Shah Afroditi. One of Rabbi Gamaliel's in the bathhouse of Afroditi. Afroditi was some sort of idol, which is known as Aphrodite. And so his bathhouse had what to do with the idol. Amr Loi, he asked him, Kosabitar Askham, it says in your Torah, Loi the Bakabiyotchum Uman Acherim. Nothing from the Cherim, from that which is banned from Avodah Zarah, is allowed to stick to your hand, meaning you're not a benefit from Avodah Zarah. And Bnei Ma'at Rechaz Merchot Shah Afroditi. So how are you bathing in this bathhouse of Aphrodite? You're benefiting from the Avodah Zarah. So Rabbi Gamaliel told him, "In Mishim Merchatz, no responding in the bathhouse because we're not allowed to talk Torah in the bathhouse." Uchshiyatsa Amrlei. But when he went out, he told him as follows a number of different answers. First of all, Anilei Basa Bigvula, he ba Bigvuli. I didn't go into her border, meaning I didn't go to the Avodah Zarah. She came to me. Namely, there was a bathhouse here first, and then only afterwards they put the idol there. So the bathhouse was always permitted. The idol being put there later can't answer the bathhouse. Further explaining himself, he said, "In Oimer Nasa Merchatz Noi Aphrodite, Ela Oimer Nasa Aphrodite." We also don't say that the bathhouse is considered a beautification, that it's like an adornment for the idol. Rather, the idol is an adornment for the bathhouse. In other words, he's saying a bathhouse is not something you consider a beautification for something else. You have the bathhouse and then you want to beautify the bathhouse, so you put something there. And that's what the idol is. So therefore, the bathhouse wouldn't be usur because it's not serving the idol. If anything, the idol is serving the bathhouse. And also, davar acher, another thing that he said is, if someone gave you a lot of money, you wouldn't go into your idol completely unclothed, ubalkari or balkari, umashim befoneh, or urinating in front of it. You would never do that to your idol. But zu, amelas lapil abiv, this Aphrodite idol is right by the sewage pipe that comes out of the bathhouse. V'chol mashtin lefoneh, everyone urinates in front of it. Eloi nemar ela eloheihem. It only says in the pasuk, their gods, meaning that we should destroy the gods of other nations. What do we learn from here? Es shenoig boi mishum aloya, usur. It's only something that's served as a god. It's treated like a god, so that's usur. Es shenoig boi mishum aloya, mutter. But it's not treated like a god, it's mutter. And this Aphrodite, as we just described, is definitely not treated like a god, so there's no problem bathing in this bathhouse. Something more asked in Rabbi Gamaliel. Pechi avi hachi. How could Rabbi Gamaliel do this? He says, "B'chol makay motel har chutzim beis hamerchos beis akise." A person is always allowed to think and really should be thinking about Torah, except for in a beis hamerchos beis akise. And so how could Rabbi Gamaliel even respond to this proikless fellow in the bathhouse, saying, "Oh, we can't talk Torah in here. We have to talk outside." He shouldn't even have said that or even thought that. And if you want to say he spoke to him in lashon chol, he didn't use lashon hakodesh. He used a different language, and therefore it's okay. But Amar Bayi says, "Dvarim shel chol motel." Something which is chol, it's mundane, it's regular. One is allowed to say in lashon hakodesh, but the dvarim shel kodesh also lo ayim b'lashon chol. Something which is kodesh, it's Torah, it's holy. Even though one's going to use a different language, he's still not allowed to say it in a place where he's not allowed to talk Torah. So how can Rabbi Gamaliel even respond to this proikles in the bathhouse? We don't talk Torah in a bathhouse. That itself is Torah. As the Gemara answers, Tanu Yev Abraisa, kishiyatsa. It's when Rabbi Gamaliel left the bathhouse, Amar Loi. Then he told proikles in Meshiv Merchatz, "Look, I'm not allowed to respond in a bathhouse, as I didn't tell anything to you inside. But once we're outside, I'm going to give you an answer." And now we have Machlok is about how to understand Rabbi Gamaliel's response. Amar Chama Bar Yosef Baribi, Amar Abishaya, he says as follows, Tshuva Genuva, Heshiva Lo Rabbi Gamaliel Oysa Hegmoin, Vani Oimer, Ena Genuva. Rabbi Gamaliel gave a response that was Genuva. It was deceptive. It was a little bit of a trick. It wasn't 100% honest, but I, referring to Rabbi Chama Bar Yosef, I argue and I say that it wasn't Genuva, it wasn't a trick, it wasn't deceptive. So now we're going to have four different explanations of why Rabbi Shaya considered it Genuva and why Rabbi Chama Bar Yosef did not. So first explanation is as follows, My Genuvte, how's Rabbi Gamaliel's answer? Perhaps not 100% straight. That's because the Gamar Lehem Gamliel told his parikles, Zu emes al pi habev. This is why Zara Afruditi. It's right by the bev, it's by the sewage, and v'chol adam mashma funeh, everyone's urinating in front of it, and that makes it not an avodah zara. Now the question is, v'chim mashma funeh mahava, just because someone urinates in front of it, why is that a problem? V'amar Rav, Rava says, pa'or yechiach, that the avodah zara called pa'or, that shall prove that even though something degrading is done to it, that's not a bittul, shemefar and lefanu v'chol yoim, because people defecate in front of it every single day in a bottle, and that's not mevatel it, and therefore just because people in a bathhouse would urinate in front of Aphrodite, that's not mevatel it, it still could be considered an avodah zara. So that's why it's considered tshuva genuva. However, v'ani yomer, I Rechon Bar Yosef say, in a genuva, it's not genuva, it's perfectly fine, because zu, in regards to pa'ar that we just mentioned, avodas bekach, that was the way to serve it, to defecate in front of it. But v'zu, Aphrodite, in avodas bekach, that's not the way to serve it, and therefore when something inappropriate like urination is done in front of it, that is mevatel it. Now here's the second way of understanding. Amar Abaye Abaye says, genuv to mehacha, this is where his answer was perhaps not 100% straight. Because Gamaliel told him, I didn't come to it, it came to me. The bathhouse was here before it came, and then later on they put it in the bathhouse. That doesn't answer it. Now the reason why it's not so true is because of who cares if he had come to it? Doesn't make a difference. But tonight we have a Mishnah that says, if an Avodah Zarah has a bathhouse or a garden, a person is allowed to benefit from these things as long as it's Shaloi B'Toiva, which means you're not allowed to say thank you. You can't say Yashar Kayach, thank you. One is not allowed to benefit from it by saying thank you and Yashar Kayach. And so we see from here that doesn't really make a difference what came first. Specifically, when we're talking about a bathhouse, because as Mishnah says, Merchatz, he's allowed to benefit from it as long as he doesn't say Yashar Kayach to the people in charge of the Avodah Zarah. So Rabbi Gamliel telling him that this bathhouse was here before the Avodah Zarah is not relevant. Even if the bathhouse wasn't there before the Avodah Zarah and the bathhouse was actually for the Avodah Zarah, it's still not a problem. You could benefit from it as long as you don't say thank you. However, Vani Yomer, I, Rabbi Yisrael Chama, say in a Genuva that it was a perfectly fine answer because Shaloi B'Tavis Rabbi Gamliel, Kitoivas Acherim Dami. Even if Rabbi Gamliel used it Shaloi B'Toiva and didn't expressly say Yashar Kayach, that's still like other people saying Yashar Kayach doing it B'Toiva, because Rabbi Gamliel was so chashuv by the mere fact that he would have been using it, that's considered like him saying Yashar Kayach, that's a chashivas for the people who run the bathhouse, who are in charge of it, and therefore Rabbi Gamliel would not be allowed to use it unless the bathhouse was there before the Avodah Zarah. Now we have our third explanation of Shem Rachi Amar. He says, Gnuf to Mehacha, here's where his answer was a little bit deceptive, because Rabbi Gamliel told him, this is right by the sewage, and everyone urinates in front of it, and who cares if everyone urinates? But now we have a Mishnah that says, Rak b'faneo, if an Avi Chavim spit at an idol, Hish b'faneo, he urinated in front of it, Gera, he dragged it, V'zark b'satzoya, or he threw excrement at it, Hareza ena b'tela, is not mevatel avodah zarah. So we see that even though he degraded his avodah zarah, it's not mevatel it. And so what was Rabbi Gamliel saying? That everyone urinates in front of it, so that degrades it, so it's not considered avodah zarah. It actually still is. That's why it's getting a little bit genuva. However, Vani Omer, I Rechon Bar Yosef say that ena genuva, it's a perfectly fine answer, because Hasam, in those cases we just quoted, Lefi Shaitu Rasachala, we can explain the reason why the person did one of these humiliating, embarrassing things to his idol is because at that point in time, that Shah, that moment, is angry at it. V'hadam Rafai's law, but later on, he's going to reconcile with his idol, and therefore, a momentary spitting at it or dragging it doesn't show that he's being mevatel it. But Hach over here with his Aphrodite, call Shaitu Shaitu Zilzula Kaima. Every single moment, it's in a state of zilzul because it's in the bathhouse, and people are always using the bathhouse, urinating in front of it, and therefore, it is a great answer. And here's the fourth understanding, Rabbi Ulamer, he says, Gnufta Mehacha. Here's where Gamliel's answer was a little bit tricky, because he told him, Ein oimrim nasa merchatz nel Aphrodite, elo nasa Aphrodite nel merchatz. Wouldn't say the bathhouse is the beautification of the idol, rather the idol is the beautification for the merchatz, and therefore the merchatz itself is not a problem. And here's the reason why this is not really the clearest answer, because v'chi oimrim nasa merchatz Aphrodite noi mai hava. Even if you want to say that the bathhouse is a beautification for the idol, who cares? V'atan, you have a brass that says, Ha'imr ba'ezel v'ezchavim. If a person says, this house is for that idol, or he says, Koisel v'ezchavim, this cup is for that idol, l'imr klom, that's nothing. She'in hektish v'ezchavim. You can't make hektish for an idol. We know when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, if a person says that this item is hektish, it's for the Beis HaMikdash, so automatically it's hektish. But if a person says this thing is for an idol, it doesn't become usur. It has to be used in the service of the idol in order to be usur. However, ni aimer in genuva, I Rechon Bar Yosef say, that's not a problematic answer because ni de tsuri le mitasra. You're right, even if the merchatz would have been a noi for the idol, it wouldn't be usur. However, noi mi o'ika, it's still considered some sort of noi, some sort of benefit or adornment for the idol when people go there, and therefore technically usur go to this merchatz, not because of service of an avodah zarah, but just simply showing a noi to avodah zarah, which is also problematic, and therefore Gamaliel had to emphasize that no, the bathhouse is not a noi for avodah zarah, and that's why it's no problem whatsoever bathing over here. We're going to start for the day and pick up tomorrow with another Mishnah, continue to discuss what could be usur due to avodah zarah and what not. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.